We don't invest in China because China is China. 2000 to 2013. I have never intimidated the masses. I only intimidate corrupt officials. Chu Rongji, Premier of People's Republic of China, 1998 to 2003. We began many chapters in this book with mistakes we have made, like chasing rainbows in China or being swindled by Chitiraya, the company in Singapore that was forever on lunch break. We have no shortage of stories about misguided investments we have made. It's part of the business, so we chalk it up to experience, have a good laugh at ourselves, and keep moving forward a little wiser each time. The time period we will cover in this chapter is from 2000 to 2013. It was a new age for corporates in Asia, excluding China, when a new generation of Asian companies had learned how to create long-term value. These were the companies that Overlook had long strived to identify, available now at bargain valuations following the 1997-98 Asian crisis. It was a time when corporate Asia, ex-China, had matured to a strength and momentum that fit perfectly with our investment philosophy, when fundamental investing found real traction for Overlook. These companies were Overlook's new winners. They came in many flavors all across Asia, ex-China, and we loved them all. A few of our favorites include Indonesia, Bank NISP, Multi Bintang. Thailand, CPL, Thai Re, Thai Union Foods. Malaysia, Top Glove, IOI. Singapore, Mobile One. Hong Kong, Cafe de Coral, Kingboard Chemical, ASM Pacific. And Taiwan, TSMC, Advantech, Chroma ATE. Many of these companies are highlighted elsewhere in this book. Their executives are in the Overlook Hall of Fame, and nearly all are in the Decade Club. Two are in the Two-Decade Club. But something else was happening in Asia, too. China's economy kept compounding at high rates of growth. A giant awakens. It was breathtaking. Driven by manufacturing and exports, China's economy nearly doubled in size from 2000 to 2005, then doubled again by 2008. Hong Kong, Overlook's home and the most dynamic financial center in Asia, seemed to dwindle in comparison to China's expansion despite terrific growth. In 1990, for example, Hong Kong's GDP was 21.3% that of China. In the ensuing decades, even as Hong Kong's economy continued to grow, its GDP dropped to 14% of China's by 2000, to 3.8% by 2010, and to just 2.3% by 2020. It was impossible not to be aware of what was happening in China. China was hyper-competitive globally. Even though we were busy with the new winners across the Asian region, Overlook couldn't help but pay attention to China from our home in Hong Kong. China was becoming an economic engine on a scale that was certain to produce investment opportunities. We kept looking, visiting companies, learning about business in China, trying to figure out the best way for Overlook to invest in China. Slowly, with a lot of work, options began to take shape. We described these developments in our December 2001 report, which includes one of the most significant sentences we have ever written. The emergence of 30 to 40 listed private enterprises marks the inception of what will be a long list of future listings from China's private sector. One of the most exciting developments in Asia over the past 2 years has been the emergence of real public companies in China. By real public companies, we mean companies that utilize the free market principles to manage their businesses for profit in China. In general, these companies are majority-owned and managed by dynamic yet unproven entrepreneurs. Their markets are large, fragmented, and offer both incredible potential rewards and enormous competitive challenges. This select group of public companies stands in stark contrast to standard Chinese public companies that have been spun off from monolithic state-owned enterprises, SOEs. The prime aim of SOE subsidiaries seems to be to raise capital from investors to subsidize the bloated overheads of employees and to acquire further marginal assets from the parent.